Welcome back to Momentous Struggle, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast. On this week's episode, Aubrey and I are going to be talking about the You Have Something I Want squad pack. So that's the Moff Gideon one that will be releasing, well, this coming Friday from the time that we're recording. And unfortunately, we're a little behind here, and so we're recording about a couple days late, but that's all right. We're going to still get something out to you. So let's go ahead and jump into that. As always, joined by Aubrey. How are we doing, Aubrey?
Not bad. Was up a little too late last night, so I'm a little tired, but what's new? Me being tired is apparently turning into a meme.
Apparently so. Yeah, no, but some good news coming out this week. I don't know if you, or actually just today, since this is Tuesday the 30th, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the official dates for LVO have come out at this point in time. So LVO will be, it's going to be, what is the dates of that? January 16th through the 19th, still going to be at the Rio at this point in time in Las Vegas. So same spot as last year. I know that behind the scenes, the team that I'm working with is working on trying to get everything approved for Shatterpoint. So fingers crossed, everything will go through. I have a lot of confidence that it's going to get approved. So we are looking at trying to get everything set forward. So applications are starting to be able to get submitted and things along those lines. So we are in the beginning stages of hopefully being able to sit there and get a confirmation that LVO will actually have Shatterpoint this year.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. We've been slaving away. Todd, I don't think I've told you this yet, I may have a third 3D printer that I am now working on getting set up and going. So that's something, right?
That is something. I mean, hopefully the bigger issue is like you keep on having printers just die on you halfway through, and then you have to do some troubleshooting. So if you can have three working simultaneously, that's the key there. That is the key. But hopefully we'll get to that point. Luckily, we have others helping to print stuff and get it over to us so that I can do a lot of that, the painting that I've been doing and everything along those lines, to have all the tables ready in time. And I think we're in a good place, I think, at this point in time to be completely prepared and ready for LVO. But yeah, you just keep on plugging away at it and everything along those lines.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
Yep. I don't know if you listened to Zion's Finest last episode. They only got like a 16-minute episode out this week because apparently they had some sort of a technology issues, which I am very familiar with having on our side.
That's why we're behind.
Right. But Kenny basically is said that he's kind of not stepping away, but is going to be doing only one episode every other week to sit there and focus on community building and trying to build, you know, help support, build the game in and of itself, which is awesome. I think that's kind of admirable in that aspect of like trying to sit there and help grow the game. I don't know. It's like, it was interesting listening to him talk though about that, because it was one of those things where I don't know. I look back at like he compared it to like when he jumped into Imperial Assault, and it was like the game had already been going pretty strong at that point in time. And he was talking also about like X-Wing. I mean, X-Wing's been around for, gosh, what, 15 years ish now at this point in time. It's like, I don't know what point he jumped into that as well, but it's like all of those games, like looking at MCP, they all kind of grow slowly when it comes to miniature gaming and everything like that. And I don't know if, like, I don't want to be too discouraged by where the game is at this point in time. Basically, it's like it's not always going to grow as fast as we want it to. And I think there was a good start to the game. I think the lack of mission packs in the beginning, kind of like we lost a couple people locally ourselves. And I was like, I think it's starting to pick back up again. I know like some of the players locally are starting to come back to the game that it like initially jumped in and then left and everything along those lines. So I think we're getting to that point and being able to sit there and like maybe start getting some of these larger events. Adepticon was huge, and it's going to continue to be huge. Hopefully, yeah, Getting LVO is going to help as well. Having some of these major milestone type of events for people to go to, I think will help grow the game in and of itself and give people a reason to sit there and be focused on playing this game and put some effort into playing the game as well. Because the competitive scene, as much as it's not super important, but it is something that helps shine a light on the game as well.
Mm-hmm. It's the thing about organized play, to talk about organized play. Do most people who engage with any game interact with organized play on a regular basis? I would say, Todd, that the answer is no, right? No, they don't.
Other than Magic.
well, but even Magic, a lot of Commander is not really organized play, right? I mean...
Yeah, not anymore, but I mean, up until pre-COVID Magic, it was all F&M.
When I talk about organized play, I don't mean F&M at your local store playing in those events. Yes, I know they're sanctioned by Magic, but we're getting off in the weeds. I mean, how many people go to Chicago to Adepticon to play Shatterpoint? It's not everyone who plays Shatterpoint, right?
Correct. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But those high-level events, those high-level tournaments, essentially are marketing, because everyone does pay attention to what happens. Well, maybe not everyone, but more people pay attention to what happens at these big events than who actually attend. So they do get used as a barometer, as a checkpoint, whatever terminology you want to use. That's what people go, oh, it's working, or oh, it's not working. And I mean, come on, Adepticon was pretty cool. There was a lot of high level play and a lot of things going on. So, and we're about to get a third mission pack. Like, I get it. Only having shifting priorities for the amount of time we did was probably not the best choice. And I have a feeling that some of that was just like behind the scenes distribution delays or whatever, because it feels like, to me, without knowing anything, wild speculation, listeners, that they meant to have two mission packs much sooner and didn't, because it's written into the rules. The first thing you do is select your mission pack when playing. We were supposed to have more than one. Come on, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, they have outwardly said that they were developing three mission packs right off the bat, like as part of the initial thing. So I think that, like I said, I think there was just, you know how it is. Like, it's always about the new, fresh thing, and people were like jumped into the game and then like got bored with it really like quickly, because that was only the one mission pack, and that's fine. I mean, that's how, like, that's human nature, I guess, to a lack of a better way of putting it. So yeah, but it was just interesting to like sit there and hear Kenny not stepping away, but basically kind of taking a little bit more time. I mean, he has other, you know, not just to help build a community, but you know, he's got family, life, that all gets in like there as well, and you want to make sure that you're taking care of all of those things, because this is just secondary, and like, unless you're trying to make this a primary business, and let's be honest, I'm not getting rich doing podcasting.
Oh, no, we're just trying to keep the lights on, like, literally.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, for me, this is just, I like talking about the game, and I think that's the same for Kenny. He loves this game. He likes talking about it. But we have, you know, different priorities in life. So, I mean, I'm sure we're going to keep hearing from him, and I hope everything works out well for him. I'm sure I'll still be talking back and forth with him, especially as we get closer to LVO, because I know when I saw him at LVO last year, he was like, no, I don't think I'm going to be coming back. And then when he found out I'm going to be potentially putting all of LVO together, he's like, okay, well, maybe I'll come out then. So I think we'll be seeing the Zion's crew for LVO this year as well. So yeah, but it was just interesting to see that part side of like what was going on with him. So hopefully the rest of the crew will keep the show going as he takes his breaks as needed and everything along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's balance. I mean, come on, it's easy to let stuff take over all of your life. I can see three 3D printers staring at me right now as I'm uttering this statement out loud. So, I mean, we got to have balance. And that's the nice thing about games. It's not like anybody has to like go throw their minis in a garbage can and pour some gasoline on it and light it on fire. Like, your minis will still be there when you've got more time. Like,
Exactly. Well, let's go ahead. I mean, before we jump in to the actual meat of the episode, as always, I want to go back and thank all of our patrons for everything that they do. So, as always, if you ever want to support our channel, the best way to do so is to become a patron. Our Patreon starts as little $1 a month. And that just helps to, you know, pay for all the different things that we pay for to keep the podcast going and everything along those lines. This week, I believe I might have mentioned Paul, but if I didn't, I want to thank Paul as a new patron, as well as Matt B for becoming a patron this week. We do appreciate all of our patrons, and especially the new ones. We always want to recognize them when they first come on. So thank you very much for becoming a patron. You definitely help with keeping ours going and being able to sit there and like I said, pay for all of the different things that go along with the services that we utilize. So again, thank you very much for doing that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. It turns out that some of this stuff is a little expensive just to try and get you some quality content.
Yeah. Yeah, good content's not free, apparently. So, yeah, but let's go ahead and just jump into the main topic here, and that's talking about Moff Gideon and his box. So, looking at Moff Gideon right off of the bat, he is a 8 squad point 3/4 primary unit. He is Galactic Civil War and the New Republic era. He has the Galactic Empire and the Scoundrels tag. So pretty cool there with the Scoundrels tag. And with him coming out the same time as the Din Djarin box, the Mando box, it's pretty interesting that they both have that same keyword. He has a Scoundrel word that works with Din himself. So that's pretty interesting there.
Yeah, definitely a good start. I mean, this is kind of par for the course. Most of our primaries are 8 squad points and 3/4. So no notes, but it is funny that Mando and Moff Gideon could synergize with each other, given what we know about their story.
right. And yeah. And also he has 10 stamina, 3 durability. So again, just on par, but pretty even there. So he does have one tactical ability, which is called Smug Determination. At the start of this unit's activation, you choose an allied Galactic Empire character within range 4, and each character in this unit and the chosen character may both dash. So he gets a dash and another Galactic Empire character, not a unit, but a character get a dash. There is a little bit of a range for that, but for range 4 is not too bad.
No, that's fine. I mean, this is basically Count Dooku's ability, except slightly better, right? Because isn't he like range 3 and Gideon's range 4? So, I mean, Count Dooku's ability is good. This is Count Dooku for Empire.
Exactly. So pretty good ability there. And I think, looking at the next one, he does have one active ability. It's Long Live the Empire. This is one force. You choose an active objective and an allied Galactic Empire supporting unit. One character in the chosen unit may reposition towards the objective. Then the chosen unit suffers 2 damage. If this effect would wound the chosen unit, the unit may remove 1 wound token and all damage and 1 condition from itself. If it does, this unit gains an injured token.
Ooh, this is I don't know yet what to make of these abilities, because this is kind of like, this is a sort of second wave thing that we're getting, where you're going to get to like skip the wounded step, basically. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like we might start to see some models leave the table, Todd, because people are going to, at first, I think, like, you're always going to be like, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it anyway. Take the point. Cool. And then your opponent dogpiles on them because they're back up. They're awake again. And now they're getting attacked again. So, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And this is a And this is for a supporting unit, too. So, yeah. I mean, it's like they only are going to have 2 durability anyway. So it's like, OK, yeah, they can immediately contest whatever objective it is that they're contesting. But, man, that's not like I don't know. I don't think you're going to use this to sit there. And when you're using this, I don't think it's effective to use this and wound your character. It's like doing the damage is fine to sit there and get the effect. But if you wound them, man, that's rough. I mean, because it's like, especially a supporting unit, because it's like, well, they're okay, you wounded them, then injured them, and now they're available to just take that next hit, and then they're not going to get another activation. So you're literally taking an activation away.
Yeah. And like, this is, I guess, because, all right, so I you know, no proxying happened over here. I like playing with the stuff when it comes out. And Empire, sorry, everybody, I know I've been a little Sithy lately, but Empire is not my jam. I got the Jedi Knights up here for those of you watching on YouTube. I got the hat on. I'm not planning on playing Empire that much, but unless it's really, 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 really good. But with my speculation is that this ability is going to get used like in early, like in Struggle 1. Then you're probably not necessarily going to use it because I don't think you want to wound your units and like they're going to have damage on them. And then, yeah, like maybe in Struggle 3 where, you know, the game gets really tight and every little point matters. Yeah, I think that's when you're going to be like, okay, cool, I don't care. They go to injured, they take that point, that's the bonus point, now I'm going to win. Like, I think that's when this is going to come into play. I don't think you want to fire this off like mid-game and be like, ah, they can take a wounded token and then they die immediately. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to be where this is going. So yeah, no, I think we're kind of on the same page with this one though. Yeah. All right, so he has one innate ability, which is assume I know everything. When an opposing player would spend a force to place a unit's card in reserve, they must spend one additional force. You're not reserving against Moff Gideon is really what it comes down to. You're just going to play what you get.
Nope, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. That is what Moff Gideon says. Like, the crazy thing is that, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if this has come out or anything, but does that mean that even, like Kalani, like the tactical droids, they usually reserve for free, so now even they're going to cost a force to reserve?
Yes.
Like, what the heck, Gideon? What? You don't want me picking and choosing? You want me to just be left to the ravages of my order deck to decide what's happening? Okay, all right. I see what's going on here.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's taxing the force economy there is pretty good. So, I think this is going to be a solid ability that's just going to be really frustrating to play around.
Well, because I already am very much like, this was something that we were kind of talking about at Adepticon, is I noticed that, you know, again, we were talking about high level play at the big event. Very often, I noticed that the players who were playing the best were not reserving very often because it is a cost. It's already a cost of force, and force is, you only have so much. And now Gideon's like, nope, not, I don't think you're, if you ever reserve something against Gideon, it has to be because you're going to lose the game on the spot or something. Like, that is the only time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so no, it's going to be interesting. I mean, this one, and see how this impacts play going forward. So, well, yeah, and then he has one last ability, which is his identity. You have something that I want. When an allied Galactic Empire character performs a melee attack as part of a combat action, if the defending character is contesting an active objective that you do not control, add one dice to the attack roll. Additionally, when determining control of an active objective that a character in this unit is contesting, if there is a tie, the unit's controller takes possession or takes control of the objective. So basically, he wins ties, yep. Which... yeah,
yep.
We get that. I mean, adding an additional dice, any Galactic Empire character, and this is global, adding a dice is always good.
Well, and like the only requirement is, oh no, the defender has to be contesting an active objective that you don't control. That never happens in the game.
Right.
And like, this is a primary with Inquisitorial Mandate. Like, that's kind of scary. Like, you don't want to have a beef with Gideon, clearly.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a solid character. I mean, looking just at his abilities. But let's take a look at his stance card next. So the first side is his self-interest side. So he has a range 4 attack with 7 dice on this side with a melee of 6 dice. And then defensively, 6 dice for range and 5 for melee. So looking at the dice side of it, this is his more melee or range side that we're looking at. And then going down to the expertise chart, he has Moff Gideon's blaster pistol. 1-2 gets you a crit and a pin. 3 gets you a crit, a strike, and a pin. And then 4+ gets you 2 crits and a pin. So pretty solid there. His dark saber is what he has for melee. 1-2 gets you a crit and a damage. 3 gets you a crit and 2 damage. And then 4+ gets you 2 crits, 2 damage. Spoilers is basically the same on both sides of his card for this, for the Darksaber, as well as for his battle armor, which is 1-2 is a block, 3 is 2 blocks and reducing a crit to a strike, and then 4+ is two blocks, reducing a crit to a failure and a reposition. A little bit different, I guess, on the other side, where the last side is, instead of a reposition, it gets a heal. So a little different, but not much.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely made it so that it's, you're not really going to be hurt that much in terms of melee, but the reposition, I think, is much stronger than the heal. But you're probably not getting four that often, so this is just, it's kind of window dressing when you're talking about four expertise.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not that much. But overall, looking at like the tree on this one, it's pretty, again, pretty straightforward. It starts at one and then branches into three separate versions of the down the tree, three separate branches, I guess, and those just go straight across. So there's only five possible successes on this side. Basically, the bottom is pretty nice because that one is basically at two and three, gets you two shoves, and there's also a reposition at the very end. The top side is probably more of the your condition based, where you get a disarm and an expose at the very end. The middle is you get a strain and you can do the active ability, so the long live the empire ability, if you can trigger out the third step. So it's really interesting. It's kind of just a what's your poison type of a thing with his tree here.
Yeah, because basically it's like, okay, do you want some conditions, go to the top side? Do you want his activated ability to be free, go to the middle? Do you want shoves, go to the bottom? So it's actually, I like when it's very clear, okay, what decision am I making, what do I need right now? Okay, pick that one. Cool.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I like it. I think it's a pretty decent ability, or pretty decent card, straightforward and everything along those lines. So yeah, not too bad. Not a whole lot more to kind of go into on this one. So looking at the other side, we have the burn them out. Again, range four for his range attack, six dice for range on this side, seven for melee. And again, the defensive dice flip as well, five defensive dice for range, six for melee. The only thing that's different on the expertise chart, other than that one thing on the battle armor that we had talked about, was on his Moff Gideon's pistol, one to two gets you two strikes, three plus gets you a crit and a strike. So again, not as good of a pistol, but it's like I said, more of the melee focus side of things here.
Yeah. And it's, and I will say, I mean, it's kind of interesting to me that one to two still is giving you two things, because that's kind of what we look for, is does one expertise punch up? And on both sides, he's having two things happen with one expertise. Now, of course, it doesn't, because it's one to two, it's not quite as good, but still, like, you basically just want to roll exactly one expertise with him almost all the time. Because like, that's,
yeah,
just
that's good. Really kind of where it's at.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So I'm looking at it, this tree, this one has six successes. So the first three are either on the top or on the bottom, and then it combines into the last three at the time. So it's at the very end. So not, again, pretty straightforward. If you go on the top, you have a shove at one and three. If you go at the bottom, you have a strain and an expose and a shove at two. So it's, you either want to go a little bit heavy on your conditions, or you can go heavy on your shoves, depending on if you want to go top or bottom, and then it's just really all damage the rest of the way.
Yeah. And again, I like being told what I'm supposed to do, and Gideon does that. He's like, all right, yeah. You want conditions? What do you want? Shoves? Do you want damage? Here you go. Here are your options, Gideon.
Yeah, I mean, it's the stance card really matches the character. I mean, he's a no-nonsense. This is what he wants. This is what he's going to do. And that's what his stance card does. It's no-nonsense. This is what it does. This is what he's going to do. You know, so it all kind of makes sense, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. It's all kind of, it's in line with what you would expect.
Yeah, I will say, though, looking at Moff Gideon overall, we haven't even looked at the rest of his box, and this already looks very strong. Like, he basically says, what do you need? I got you.
Yep. Yeah. No, he's pretty good. Pretty good. All right. So let's look at the Death Trooper Escort. So this is the secondary that comes in the unit. 4 point cost, zero force, Death Trooper, Galactic Empire, and Stormtrooper tags. Four, like I said, four squad points. He's a secondary, nine stamina, two durability. So pretty straightforward for a secondary unit as well, as far as all of that is concerned. Galactic Civil War era and the New Republic era. So the split era, just like Gideon.
Yep. Yeah. Nope. Makes sense.
All right. And he has one tact. He has a tactical ability. It's Imperial Efficiency. At the start of this unit's activation, you choose this unit or an allied Galactic Empire supporting unit. Each character in the chosen unit may dash. If the chosen unit has a damage, each character in the unit may instead reposition. So not even a wound, like not wound, not injured, just one damage. Well, oh, and by the way, what does Moff Gideon get to do? Oh yeah, he can damage people to move them, right? And then you can use Imperial Efficiency to reposition. So yeah, you see what's going on here? Just a little bit of all sorts of movement going on with your secondary or your supporting units.
Well, and don't forget to talk about who this box pairs pretty well with. What does Inexorable Advance on Stormtrooper Sergeant do? Oh yeah, it deals a damage as it's advancing your support unit. Oh yeah, let's look at Stormtroopers. What do they do? Assault tactics. They dash and then they can suffer a damage to do a a focus action.
Yep.
I wonder if you're gonna be able to get a reposition off of your Death Trooper escort really early on in the game.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard. Shouldn't be that hard. So yeah, no, solid ability for sure. Okay, so he has one active ability. It's called Tactical Advance for a force. Each character in this unit may dash. If any character dashes, this unit immediately makes a focus action. So basically a force, you get to dash, and then you also get a focus for a force. So extra movement, like the seems to be like the whole shtick with this team is just, I'm going to move everything forward and then I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. It's, there's so much movement. There's just so much movement in this box. And we've only talked about Gideon and the Death Trooper escort, and I'm like, these guys are gonna be hop, skipping, and jumping all over the place.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. Gonna be great. All right, so there's one reactive ability called Disciplined, and this also costs a force. After an attack targeting a character in this unit is resolved, if this unit is not wounded, this unit may use this ability. Each character in this unit may reposition towards an active objective, just any active objective. After the move is resolved, if no character in this unit is are engaged, the unit gains hunker.
Because so,
hey, guess what, Aubrey, we got some more movement because, you know, we didn't have enough yet.
Right, like, you didn't even need the hunker part. Like, this is already on your opponent's turn. Spend a force and reposition, not dash, not advance, not climb, not jump, reposition. So you're going to get to do it no matter what, unless they're pinned, like, which they're probably not, right? Because how much movement do they have? I already chased the high that is Mother Talzin doing stuff on my opponent's turn to mess up them taking control of objectives. And this secondary already does that. Well, maybe not better because there's not an attack. But like, look at this thing. This is insane.
It's great. Oh, so I wanted to go back and talk about Tactical Advantage because you know that you get a focus when you do that, right? That active ability.
Yeah.
So just in case you were wondering, he also has Rigorous Training as an innate ability. And he has, which means this character in this unit, they have Protection and Sharpshooter 1. So when they do that focus action for a force and they dash, then they're going to add 2 extra dice to their range attacks.
Right. Plus that protection, not while controlling an objective, not while engaged, no. Just has it all the time.
Just has it.
And remind me, Todd. So everyone, the Republic Commandos have how much health again? The 6, right? And we say that it's because they have protection. This guy has 9 in protection.
But he's a secondary. but he's a secondary, not a support unit, so that's what it makes it okay.
Fine. Yeah, can we talk about the dark troopers now? Because we got to do this. We got to do the other stuff.
We got to talk about his stance card, because you know what? He has sharpshooter. He has sharpshooter one.
Yeah,
and he's going to focus for spending a force to move and focus.
Yeah.
So you know what? He should, of course, have a range 5 attack if he's got a sharpshooter, which is at 7 dice. So basically, that's 9 dice. Are you crying?
Are you crying
over there?
I just declared my allegiance to democracy, to the republic, and this death trooper is like, cool, headshot, done.
Right, exactly. So not only, let's say he does for some reason get into melee range, he also has 7 dice there and 5 across the board for his defensive dice.
Right? This guy doesn't even care. Like, he's just got it all. Got it. I mean, he is called a death trooper. I guess we gotta, if the death trooper wasn't good at doing death, that we'd probably be mad.
Right. So here's the thing that, you look at with his expertise, Joe. He has... The range is his E-11D blaster rifle, or he has just close combat training. It is identical, the range or the melee, as far as his expertise chart go. 1 to 2 gets you 2 strikes. 3 to 4 gets you a crit and a damage. 5+ gets you 2 crits and a dash. So basically, it's like you just he's going to do whatever he does. It's just... No matter if it's ranged or melee, he's going to just do all sorts of nonsense, which is awesome.
Right. Again, this guy has the same thing as Moff Gideon. You want to kind of nail either 1 or 3 expertise, because then you're punching up each time. And it's not even that bad. I mean, 1 expertise gets you 2 strikes, 3 gets you a crit and a damage. I don't know. You're probably not hitting 5 all that often, but No notes. This guy just hits hard no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Death Trooper armor for the expertise, for defense, that's not the greatest. 1 to 2 is a block. 3+ is just 2 blocks, so it's not the greatest there. But he has protection, so it's like he's going to reduce the damage anyway. So, it's a pretty decent, decent, especially for a secondary, pretty decent expertise chart all across the board. But looking at his tree, again, a really straightforward tree. It's either 4 across the top or 4 across the bottom, and it comes to the 5th one, which is always already the same. And it's kind of the same as Gideon. 1 on the bottom, you get 2 shoves, 1 at 1 and 1 at 3, and then you can either do a disarm and a pin at 2 and 4, or if you go the top route, you just do more damage. But at 1, you get a strain, and 3, you get a expose, and then there's just a reposition and a damage at 5. So pretty straightforward. You either pin and disarm them and shove them a little bit, or you just do a little bit extra damage and you strain and expose them.
Right. You have access to all 4 conditions. You just get to pick and choose. Mm-hmm. There's a reposition at 5, which, yes, you're not likely to get to 5, but I mean, he's rolling nine dice with that sharpshooter. I don't know, maybe you can. This guy, I have no idea where the Death Trooper escort is going to be on the battlefield at any given turn. Because my turn, reposition. Your turn, do all this stuff. Oh, and get a reposition because you proc'd a bunch of crits. Where is he going to be, Todd? Where is he going to be?
He's going to be everywhere. It's pretty crazy. All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the last piece of this box, which is the Dark Troopers. So just like in, the Dark Troopers end up becoming droids in the Mandalorian show. They're no longer actual people. They're just droids. So they're 4-point cost, 0 force. They are supports units, 8 stamina, 2 durability. They do have the droid and Galactic Empire tags, and they are Galactic Civil War and the New Republic era, just like everything else. So not anything outside of the norm. I mean, as all, they have better stamina and durability than the clone troopers, because of course they're droids and droids are better.
I mean, I'm not gonna complain about that. This is the Empire now, Todd. Like, I'm all, you know what I have to say about Dark Troopers? How about Luke and you have a chat, huh? You go talk to Luke and you see how well this works out for you.
Fair enough. All right, so they have one active ability called Jump Boots. Each character in this unit may jump. Basically, it's pretty straightforward. It's one force to do that. So not anything different than we've ever seen before, but it is nice to see this on a supporting unit where basically both of them get to jump.
Yeah. And I just want to say that, you know, AMG, thank you for not just like being boring and like naming these things like you could have just named them all jump, right? Instead of saying like force jump or jet boots or whatever, like I just like that each time we get basically the same mechanic or a similar mechanic, they still take the time to call it another name. That's all I got here.
Exactly. So they do have three different innate abilities. The first one is coordinated fire for strain. When a character in another Galactic Empire unit makes an attack as part of the combat action before dice are rolled, the unit may use this ability. If the target character is within range 5 of the character in this unit, the target gains the strain condition.
Yeah, I mean, all the coordinated fires have their uses. Like, these are all fine. Like, the biggest thing is just remember you have this, because it's usually free, at least in the early parts of the game. So, just go for it.
So, here's the big ones. These next two are crazy. Immovable characters in this unit cannot be pushed or pulled by abilities. Yeah. So you can be shoved, but you can't be pushed or pulled.
Yep. No more force push. No more mauls. You cannot run. No Django capture wire. Like, just nope. These guys say no. And that's like the big thing that the dealing with supporting units, like, for example, going back to Maul, generally how you take an objective from somebody's supporting unit is you run up, you pull one off the point, and then you shove the other one the other way off the point. And now that play pattern is not going to work at all.
Exactly.
And somebody's going to get got by this when early on. Somebody's going to be like, what do you mean?
Just forget. Yeah, they're probably just going to forget. So yeah, no, pretty crazy. And then the other ability that they have is Unrelenting. Characters in this unit have protection and immunity to pin.
Right. Remember what we were talking about how there's so much movement, and I'm like, well, the only way you're going to deal with this is with pin. No way, Todd. No, you're not going to deal with this with pin, are you?
Nope, not at all.
Okay. And remember the Republic Commandos. I'm just gonna bring this up again. Remind me. These guys have protection all the time, and they have how much? How much? 8. Okay. All right. That's fine. I mean, okay. All right. All kidding aside. Yeah.
Again, droids. Droids are better than clones.
You beat me to it, Todd. I was trying to give it to you, and you beat me. All right, bye. Moving on. It's fine. All right, so, whatever.
Well, let's go ahead and look at their stance card. So their stance card, range 5 attack and melee both have 6 dice. Defensive dice are both 5 for range or melee. So yeah, pretty good defensive dice, good range, looking pretty solid, especially for supports. They have their Dark Trooper blasters for their range attacks. 1-2 is going to get them 2 strikes. 3+ gets you a crit and a strike. They have Crushing Punch. 1-2 gets you a crit. 3-4 gets you a crit and a strike or a damage. 5+ gets you 2 crits and a damage. But here's the one that gets me. Combat Droid, for their defensive expertise, 1 gets you a block and reduces a crit to a hit. 2-3 gets you 2 blocks and reduces a crit to a hit. 4+ gets you 2 blocks and reduces a crit to a failure. A support unit that has reduction of crits. What?
I I don't know. So everybody, all right, Dark Troopers. I'm just gonna go all the way back. So Dark Troopers were from what, Dark Forces, the video game with like Kyle Katarn, and like Kyle Katarn's probably one of my favorite characters that came out of the whole Legend stories. Like, he's a very interesting character in a lot of the early video games. Like, the Dark Troopers are supposed to be scary. They the Empire was going to replace Stormtroopers, their elite forces, with the Dark Troopers. That's where they were going. So they should be scary. But I'm scared. Like, I'm really scared. Like, how do you even fight them? Like, this is so good. You can't push or pull them. They stop at all of your crits. One expertise gives you a block and a crit to a strike. Like, does anybody outside of primaries have something that good?
Not that I can think of. I don't think so.
Right.
Like, so yeah, just insane. Just insane. I mean, and then looking at their stance, the tree itself, on 1 and 3, they can have shoves. Mm-hmm. At 2, they have a pin. Mm-hmm. If you don't shove at 3, you can jump. And if you jump, then you can disarm. At 4, if you shove at 3, then you can strain at 4. So it's just, it's insane. There's only 5 down the tree. So you can either get 2 shoves, you can get a jump, you're going to get a pin no matter what at 2. It's insane. I mean, you can, like, if you go all the way down the tree at 5, which I strongly doubt is going to happen because they are only rolling 6 dice. But if you spike somehow, I mean, you can be looking at doing a total of 7 damage, and that's per, because this is a 2 unit. So, but I don't think you're getting that far down. Like, 2 to 3 is probably really where you're going to be living with these guys. So 1 shove, but like, even so, that's 1 shove and a pin and 2 damage if you go the bottom route, or just 3 damage and a pin. So these guys, I mean, are pretty good.
No, I mean, shove and pin is what we want. Push and pin. That's the game. That's where you want to live. You want to get somebody off the objective and then keep them there. And they've got it. They've got it on 2. Like, if you never roll more than 2 successes with these guys, I think you're happy. And like,
I mean, 3 is really where you want to be, because 2, no matter what, 2 is always going to get you off a point. So like shove and a pin, so they can't just get back onto there, is like perfect. So, but yeah, still, I mean, like that 2 to 3 successes is the sweet spot, and these guys do everything you want. And yeah, I mean, this is just an all around, like, I don't see how they can't be one of the top 3 supporting units in the game once they release on Friday.
Right, because again, look at that, right? Like, I know we talked about it, but going back to the Death Trooper and then looking at these guys, they're both range 5. Like, they're both range 5. They are going to be doing work. Like, they're good in melee and range. Like, these guys, like, okay, sure, the Magna Guards have more health, but these guys,
they can't do anything unless they're in melee.
Right. Like, these guys have protection, immunity to pin, they can jump, because that's kind of like if you compare them to the Magna Guards, like, the weakness of the Magna Guards is that they don't have
no vertical movement.
Yeah, they don't have vertical movement, and they don't have a ranged attack. These guys are almost as strong, just looking at their sheer stats, and they have ranged, and they have protection, and they have immunity. Like, okay, all right. I know people were complaining that the Magna Guards were running around too much. Well, I don't think they're gonna be. I don't think they're gonna be running around as much right now with these guys.
Yeah. No, I think this is, we're gonna see a changing of the guard for sure. So, but yeah, I mean, so like overall, like, this is a solid unit. I know one of our locals that listens to our podcast, Justin, was asking us at the end of our box reviews to sit there and basically kind of say who we would pair these guys with. I mean, and I think the logical answer, I guess, like for me at least, is just throw them with the Vader box.
Oh yeah.
You know, like these guys in the Vader box is just like, so the Stormtrooper Sergeant and Stormtroopers and Vader, and then you just add these guys in. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Well, because again, like Vader has his, when he wounds an enemy unit, he can make another guy dash. So that's yet even more movement. I kind of already hinted at it because I couldn't help myself. I was trying to wait till the end of the episode, but I'm like, Stormtrooper Sergeant and Stormtroopers are just, they feel like they're going to be so good. And I know we just had, Iden and company, like their full stuff.
The Inferno Squad. Yeah.
Like I haven't had time to process that, but I know they all seem to have Long Live the Empire, that same ability, or maybe some of them did. I didn't look at that long enough to talk about it on the episode today, but my point is that like, I feel like Stormtroopers and Stormtrooper Sergeant are an immediate like, that's the first place I would go if I was going to play these guys, which means you're playing Vader, and oh no, you're playing Darth Vader. I'm so sad for you, person who's.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, you could mix and match. Like, you could play whichever Vader you want. You could play Jedi Hunter, or you could play Servant. It doesn't matter. I mean, if you wanted to just have the ability to add the extra dice for your people, because Death Troopers wouldn't mind taking a little bit of extra dice, and they're going to probably be a little bit more resilient than we would anticipate because they have that protection. So adding, you know, taking the damage to add dice to make sure that they get three down their tree when you're trying to sit there and flip a point isn't going to be that bad. You know, I mean, adding a couple of dice to your Stormtrooper or your Death Trooper escort, you're okay. Yeah, that's not bad either. So I mean, he has seven dice in melee, and you just add a couple more dice in there and do a little bit of damage. Again, he has protection, so why not?
That actually, the more you say that, I almost feel like Jedi Hunter might be better than Emperor Servant with this, just because like you're already hunting to like get just a little bit of damage for that reposition, right, off of Imperial efficiency. Mm-hmm. I feel like the biggest concern if you take Jedi Hunter over,
you're gonna kill your own people.
Yeah, you're gonna have to manage that damage input output. Like that's gonna be the biggest thing you're doing with this box, because it's gonna be really easy to be like, I'm just gonna take all the damage, do all the things, I'm gonna win, and then you know the clones are like, pot shot, because now you're actually weak enough for them to interact with you.
fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, but like with anything with Jedi Hunter, it's really just being selective. Like I said, I think giving them the extra dice, like the Dark Troopers, that extra dice, maybe just to flip a point, maybe at the end of the game or something like that, might be just that one thing that you need is like, you know what, I need to have this push sub push, give them the extra dice just to sit there and get them over that hump. So I mean, I don't know. I think what I would probably do if I were to run this box like right out of the gate would probably be to run Jedi Hunter with the Sergeant and the Stormtroopers just to pussy. But I like aggro a little bit more anyway. I'm like, you know, I was always a red player in MTG anyway, so.
hey, that's fair. And I got my first taste of, I finally played with the Emperor Servant, like his whole box. And so I might be a little higher on him because of the recency bias, because like that whole like, oh, I didn't wound somebody, let me just put Vader back in my deck thing. That's I understand the lure of the dark side after playing a game with that box.
Understandable. Well, I think that kind of covers everything that we were going to talk about today. So as always, I do want to thank each and every one of our listeners for tuning in and listening to us. Thanks again. And hopefully this will be out tomorrow. I am interviewing for a promotion at work, so it'll probably be a little bit of time because I'm going to be practicing or studying up for my interview as soon as we get done with this. And then I'll be working on getting this out tomorrow. So hopefully I get the new promotion because that'll be awesome. But other than that, yep, I think we are good to go. I as always, like I said, want to say thank you for listening, and may the force be with you.
And I want to say good luck, Todd. You're gonna kill it, and may the force be with you.
Awesome.